king is dead. Long live the king. Olaf is no longer our current reigning Doghouse NTN Radio Pool World Superbike MotoGP champion. Oh, wait. He wasn't last year either. That's right. It was Martin who was 1 point shy of Richard. We have our first back-to-back champion. Richard.
Banned.
Richard the band. No, Bam.
He's banned for
no,
next year.
We need him. He set an all-time record for most podiums, most wins, most points scored. Smash. The old record for most points scored was like 1161. He was 1248. Opened up a can of whoop-ass and spoon-fed us. Spoon-fed us.
I'd have to say you're right.
Congratulations to Monsieur Richard for winning that. I think he's out of like the North Carolina area. I don't even know that much about him, other than he knows his motorcycle racing and we look like a bunch of tools.
Better than us.
It was close to the end. They went into the last weekend. Him and Chris went into the last weekend and they were 6 points apart. They both took Oliveira for Moto2.
As did I.
And Richard took Marquez and Chris took Lorenzo. We all know how that worked out. And we're going to talk about Lorenzo in a minute. But they wrapped up the MotoGP
weekend.
Well,
we're not done with the pool.
We're not done with the pool? No. I don't want to get done with the pool.
Who, out of the three normal Doghouse guys, even though we've been a man short for a while.
You were top dog.
Yeah, that's 2 years in a row.
That's 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row.
Beat me by 32 points. Beat Ken like he owed you money. I was actually the biggest gainer. I gained 4 spots this week because I did pick Pedrosa, the name I said I would never mention on this show again.
I said today.
I would never pick again, and I picked him, and it paid off.
Well, I think we should punish you by taking 50 points off your score.
I'll still finish ahead of Ken. That's the bottom line. But I was in a tight battle, and I almost took Oliveira, but I said I need to make up so many points. I went with Bagnaia, hoping that
he might
pull something out of his ass.
Yeah, but Oliveira had the hot hand.
He did, and I won't deny that. And I thought about Morbidelli, and I was like,
he had a cool hand.
Yeah, but I went with Bagnaia, and that was 6-1, half dozen of the other. I think the old saying is, but. Let's talk a quick little bit about Moto3. We should mention MotoGP finished their season in Valencia this past weekend. That's in Spain, but that's not in the part of Spain that's like having all the political issues.
No.
I don't think there's any like suspending and locking people up and stuff in there.
No.
So they were in Valencia.
Where the oranges come from.
Where the oranges come from and the yellows and
No.
Okay. Anyways, Moto3. I want to talk a little bit about Moto3.
Which I did not watch.
You did not watch, which you didn't miss much. Right? And normally I don't say that. As everybody will tell you, if you've ever listened to this show, you know I loves me some Moto3. Because Moto3, you can have a dude finish first and be 0.2 seconds ahead of the guy that finished 71st. Or at least 21st, right? How many times have we come in here and said, man, the top 22 guys in Moto3 were all within
second
2 seconds of each other.
Almost every time.
We had somebody win by, I'm glad you're sitting down for this, Warren, 3.7 seconds.
Well, that's not been the biggest margin this year.
It's close to it.
Yeah.
Jorge Martin won. He won by 3.7 seconds. He got out front and just walked away, and he managed to do something a lot of people haven't been able to do in Moto3, and that was breakaway. Then Joanne Mir was second, and then Fanati was fourth. Ramirez was third, but second, third, fourth, fifth were all within 0.2 seconds, right? Then you had another group of guys a few seconds back, but this was by far the biggest victory we've seen in a while. Distance wise, it was already wrapped up. The point standing was already wrapped up. Joanne Mir won the championship. He won it easily. He won by almost 100 points.
Isn't that Johan?
Johan. I'm going to call him Joanne or Joan. Maybe Joan. Joan Mir. Johan, I don't know. You know, those Brits don't know how to pronounce anything. That's directed directly at you, Martin. Or I might call you Martine. Because I don't know how to say all that stuff. I'm American. I might start calling Joanne Mir Bubba. Just make it easy.
European Bubba.
European Bubba, right. Bike Bubba. No, can't be that.
Moto 3 Bubba.
Moto 3 Bubba. So they finished up that way, and it was not the race I was expecting. But, you know, it's one of those tracks where there's not a lot of straightaways for drafting and stuff, and he was able to break a lead away. Then we have Moto 2. And Moto 2, the last couple weeks, we've been seeing a KTM revolution.
Yes.
So I have a couple questions about that we'll have to talk about. But number one, we saw Miguel Oliveira win his third in a row, I believe.
Yeah, and he did it well. I mean,
did it well, 2.1
although there
seconds.
It didn't really affect any of the top guys. There were a lot of crashes in Moto 2.
There were a lot of crashes in Moto 2. Miguel Oliveira looked really strong. Brad Binder again looked strong. He finished on the podium again. KTM has had 6 podiums in the last 3 races, I think, or yep, 5 podiums.
Something like that.
In the last 3 races.
They're looking strong going into next year.
We said at the beginning of the year, you know, when KTM figures out street racing, they're going to be competitive, right? We watched that in Supercross and Motocross. KTM doesn't come in to lose.
No.
KTM.
They started off slow.
It's like Mike Singletary works there. He's like, I want winners.
They started off slow this year. But it seemed like every race they got a little bit better, to where at the end of the year they were looking really good.
The last 3 races,
going
they've been
into
on
next
fire.
Season, I'd say they had to be a favorite.
Yes, especially with Morbidelli moving up. How can they not be a favorite?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Oliveira, Brent Binder. They're adding I believe they're going to add a couple more bikes, KTM bikes. I don't know if they're going to be factory rides or support rides. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I believe KTM, I know the end game is to end up in MotoGP, but I think 2019 they're going to put a prototype out there for GP.
I think that was one of their goals was before 2020, so that would be 19.
So
I don't think it's going to happen next year.
I would say this long-range doghouse prediction, you're going to hear here, right here. I'd say 2023 they win the MotoGP championship.
Ooh.
We could write that
Write that down on the wall.
Oh, man, I just said the S word.
5:16 and 50 seconds.
That does me no good.
Well, speaking of satellite teams, you ready to go on the Moto 3, your Moto GP?
No, I want to talk about a Red Bull problem. Oh, right now.
Red Bull problem. I didn't know there was a problem with Red Bull.
There isn't yet. So, who sponsored Ryan Dungey in Supercross, Warren?
Well, they sponsored.
What did he ride?
They sponsored.
What did he ride?
Red Bull.
Yeah, KTM Red Bull.
Yeah, KTM. They sponsored both the KTM bikes.
Uh huh.
Actually, all three of
them.
All three of
them. Uh huh.
And they are this year too.
In Moto 2, Miguel Oliveira rides the KTM, the Red Bull KTM Agio bike. Red Bull is sponsoring, has a deal with KTM. Red Bull, who sponsors Mark Marquez? Repsol, Red Bull, Honda.
Ooh.
What's going to happen with the Red Bull money?
Ooh.
Little bitty.
Depends on what KTM's contract says, doesn't it?
Depends on what their contract says. It also depends on the ass kicking that's about to be received. So... God damn pet.
There you did it again. Beep. Yeah, the KTM folks in Moto 2 are looking good. I don't think there's any question that they're going to be the ones to beat going into next year, unless something crazy happens in the off season.
And I don't see that being that crazy. So I just figured I'd throw the little controversy out a little early. But yeah, it was exciting to watch. The KTMs do well. I like KTMs. When I was a kid, you know, you were the man if you had a KTM dirt bike, which I didn't have, but I wasn't the man.
I didn't even know they existed until later on.
Well, probably out by you, they were probably called Pentons.
Pentons, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't, and you didn't see very many of them.
No, we had KTMs. I don't ever remember seeing a Penton.
Honda, Suzuki, and sometimes a Yamaha. That was really about it.
Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki's. There were a lot of Kawasaki's.
Nah, not where I was at. Not very many Kawasaki's.
We had a lot of Kawasaki's. But anyways, I just figured I'd bring that up. Now we get to MotoGP, and we got a ton to talk, and we're already into MotoGP, which is good because we have a ton to talk about. A little bit of a bizarre race. Some
that
surprises.
Could have ended completely different.
Way different.
With a new, different champion at one time.
Yeah. The race took off. Marquez was on the pole. Bing, bang, boom, he's out.
He's
and
out in
who's
front.
Who's on his back door? But always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Ugly Danny Unibrow Pedrosa. I think that's why he never won a championship, because he got a unibrow. And he was back there like he was blocking for 400 cases of illegally bought liquor going across the South.
And he was.
He was out there. Well, but the best thing was is he was just there. There was nobody. In the beginning, there was nobody fighting him.
Then all of a sudden,
Zarco goes through like a shot.
Like Zorro.
Yeah. Zarco the Gay Blade. Right?
Oh, remember that movie,
Zorro
the
Gay Blade? Zorro
cut through.
He did, and Pedrosa didn't care as long as those Ducatis were behind him.
Yep.
As long as the Ducatis were not in front of him, Pedrosa didn't care, and Pedrosa kind of rode in no man's land. And we're watching
for a long
this,
time.
Yeah, and we're watching this, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, well, Dovi's going to get by Lorenzo, or they're both going to attack. Maybe they're linking up to. Both attack Pedrosa, and then Lorenzo will let Dovi go for the chase. Now I was like, nah, I don't see that happening. I don't know. And now we're getting deep into the race, and Zarco takes the lead away from Marquez, who doesn't care because he only...
You think he doesn't care.
Well, he shouldn't have cared.
He shouldn't have cared.
But he's out there and everything, and there's no competition to him.
No.
Which I think was his downfall. Or could have been his downfall. Whatever.
Almost was his downfall.
And we're watching, and all of a sudden now the announcers are talking about, well, sooner or later, Lorenzo has to let Dovizioso by. He's holding him up.
And this was only with 20 laps left.
Yeah.
They were starting to say this.
And then team orders came in over the machine, switched to mapping 8, which means...
Drop a place.
Drop a place, dumbass. Let him by. And he doesn't.
And then they put it out on his board.
And then when they rode by the Ducati stands, all the people held up signs that said, drop an 8, drop a place. And he was dropping a deuce on Dovi. That's the only thing he was dropping.
And team orders? Jorge don't need no team orders.
No, Jorge was like, F that. And he was running. So now all of a sudden, Marquez, who's up there following behind Zarco, gets some bright idea that, I should pass him and win.
I should win this race because I'm the champion.
Nobody's challenging me. My guys are back there. I'm good. I'm going to go pass him. And he did. And then he just about came off his lucky save.
Yes. Especially into gravel because he rides off the turn. Goes
into
really
the
wide.
Gravel.
No way he can make the turn. He went straight into the gravel. Curved through the gravel where most people would fall
or
off.
Or dumping, yes.
Curved through, stayed on the bike, curved through the gravel, and came back in fifth place.
Yes. And now all of a sudden, everybody in the stands, me included, I wasn't in the stands, but I was standing on my couch. Actually, I was standing on my folks' couch because that's why I watched the race. I was standing on a couch, and I'm going, Lorenzo has to let him by and do everything he can to block.
But he didn't.
And race him hard, hopefully to force another error. Maybe... They were lucky enough that a rock or two got in the air intakes.
Well, at first, they had no clue if he was down.
Right, and they didn't know if he was down.
Yeah, they had almost a full lap to go before they knew.
And he was 21 points down, so fourth and fifth place, don't cut it. He needs to be one or two.
He needs to be one.
He needed to win. And Lorenzo didn't move out of the way.
Well, he did. On purpose.
Not on purpose. Raced him hard. And then Lorenzo goes crashing out, and everybody's like, but Marquez was up, and he was running. And we were all like, and Pedrosa's still up there between Zarco and Dovi. And now you all of a sudden you go, oh my God, Pedrosa's going to block for Zarco to keep Doby from winning.
As
that
he
way
should.
They don't have to, as a teammate should. And Pedrosa has always shown he will take team orders. And I thought, and Pedrosa's smart enough to know that he has to do that, right? Because they don't have like a message board where they can say that, I don't think. I don't think their message board is that big.
Just put a big X on it.
Right? So, all of, I'm like, oh, this is how it's going to be. And then what happens? Doby throws it away.
Well, here's what I think happened. Because both
head went right up his butt?
No, both of the Ducatis went out pretty much one right after the other in the same lap or very next lap.
All that time in there for the orders and stuff was like two turns.
I think what happened is that they burned up their tires racing each other, the rear tires. And that's why they went down.
Yeah. They burned, Doby and Lorenzo burnt their tires up racing.
Because you could see Doby really trying to get into position to pass. He never could because the bikes were too equal that day. But he was trying to pass.
Yep. And Jorge was like, he was Stone Cold Steve Austin him. So now all of a sudden it leaves Pedrosa 3 seconds back of Zarco, who was pushing it.
Yeah.
Right? Zarco was pushing
Zarco
it.
Looked darn good all day long.
He looked darn good all day long.
But not quite as good as we thought because...
Well, you know, it was funny because my father said... I watched with my father, and he hasn't watched a lot of MotoGP races, right? He's not as big into motorcycle racing as I am. And he goes, so does that mean that guy's going to win? And I said, you know, he's had a problem with tire management all year. This is the longest his tires ever race lasted. I was like, but that guy sitting in second didn't burn his tires up because he ain't raced hard yet. He hasn't raced anybody, right? Because Zarco went back and forth with Marquez. Zarco had to go, you know. I was like, he's just cruising along putting laps in. I'm thinking he's got tire left. And what started happening? Pedrosa started working his way through.
2 seconds.
2 seconds.
1 second. Half a second.
Some laps he was taking a half a second. Then he'd give up a tenth and then take three. And all of a sudden, there he goes with three and a half laps to go. He goes by him. I was like, oh! But he didn't pull away, and then with like two laps to go, he started pulling away.
Yeah. Zarco had his tires were done.
And then the funniest comment that I missed, but my father picked up, because he doesn't watch MotoGP all the time, the British announcer was like, oh, and there's Zarco raising the white flag. My father goes to me, he goes, what does the white flag mean with two laps to go, right? Because he watches American racing and, you know, NASCAR, which white flag means one lap to go.
Right.
So he was a little confused. And I thought, oh, my God, they just said that the Frenchman's raising the white flag. And I almost missed the end of the race laughing. Ah, that was a great way to go, England, on that one. Sorry we kicked your butt in two wars.
But Zarco is not a Frenchman who surrenders.
Apparently he did. That's why he raised the wave. I heard it on the television. On the telly.
Yeah, I know, but...
They said it on the telly.
I know, but I don't think that's what they meant.
I know. I know it's not what they meant, but it was just... Because they've done that before, right? When I go back and I think about it, it's like, oh, yeah, they say so-and-so raised the white flag and let him by, right? I get it. It was just so funny that he happened to be French.
Yeah.
And then Pedrosa went on to win, which is good. Marquez finished on the podium with the crashes. So he won his championship.
Honda finished first and third. Marquez got his points.
But we need to talk about...
But I'm going to go back to Jorge and Doby for a moment.
Yes, we need to talk about that.
Because I truly believe Jorge was not going to let Doby go around matter what.
No, he wasn't.
Because he knew Marquez went off the track.
He should
have immediately pulled around and let Doby go. Because he had no idea if Marquez had fallen or not.
This is why Yamaha wasn't sad to see him go. He is a lousy teammate. He's a lousy person.
So will Jorge be back next year?
I don't know.
He has another year on his contract.
But he pissed them off. He pissed off Ducati.
Ducati's been apologizing all day. Oh, he just misunderstood. We didn't understand what was going on.
That's what they're saying on the outskirts because they're trying to judge fan reaction to him. But this is why Yamaha did not fight to keep him, right? He did the same thing to Rossi, what, 2 years ago when he cost Rossi the championship. He raced Rossi hard in Valencia when Rossi had to start from the back of the field so that Rossi was out of tires and couldn't go after Marquez to get the championship.
Yep.
Right.
He has done that. He does that to teammates. He's not a...
And then I guess that's the next point I was going to make. Had he even pulled over, did Dovey have enough tires left to catch...
Had he pulled over when they first got together and let him by? I think yes.
But he didn't.
He didn't. He raced them for what? 20 laps? 25
Every bit
laps?
Of it. Every
when,
bit of it.
When your teammate is racing you for 25 laps, Dovey, you need to kick him over. You need to throw the big Rossi leg out. You need to treat him like a fat chick in the paddock. Throw the leg out and
throw
kick
the,
him over.
Be Rossi.
Throw the big Hulk Hogan it. Throw
what
the
would,
big
what
leg
What would
drop.
Rossi do?
What? Yeah, what would Rossi? Oh, I like that. What would Rossi do? Rossi would kick
him over.
That fat chick over. Right? Get out of the way. Yeah, see, you got to get out of the way. You're too fat. You're too big. I can't make love to you. But that was horrible. That just shows you why that shows you why, how he ended up on Ducati. Right? Nobody else wanted him.
No.
He's not, so that, he's that not was... the kind of teammate you want. His job should have been if he was the faster bike, his job should have been pulling him next to Pedrosa and doing him. When he showed that he wasn't the faster bike, his job should get out of the way. Right? I'm not the biggest fan of team orders.
They were equal.
They were.
But being equal, he should have let Dovey go ahead.
It's killing Jorge that he's not the number one bike, and he hasn't been all year for Ducati. He's not the, right? That's why when Rossi came back to Yamaha, he wanted out because he wants to be the number one guy.
No, he's definitely not the number one guy at Ducati.
He ain't the number one guy at a lot of places right now. Yeah. A lot of people think he's more like number two. And Ducati is, well, no matter what they're saying on their stuff today,
like I said,
there was a talk.
Is he going to be back? I would not be surprised if he wasn't.
But he does
have a contract.
Here's the thing. Who else do you got?
Zarco.
Nope.
You don't think Zarco would leave the Tech 3 team?
Not to go to Ducati. When Zarco leaves...
When the Ducati bike is fighting for the championship to the last race...
What is... Yeah, but... Tech 3 Yamaha, I'm sure there's already a contract in place for him, for Yamaha.
I'm sure he's got language in his contract that allows him to move up to a better bike.
Yeah, that better bike is Rossi's when Rossi retires.
Who knows when that's going to be. He was,
if it wasn't
he was
for Lorenzo, it would have been last year.
He was competitive this year.
Yeah.
He'll be competitive next year.
If it wasn't for the injuries... I still think Rossi has a chance of winning the championship.
It's possible. So I don't
see
him retiring.
They're
going to
have a better bike. They're working on the Yamaha. You know.
Well, speaking of the Yamaha bikes, they both the factory Yamahas dropped back to 2016 chassis. Did you catch that?
Yes.
And yet the Tech 3 bike not only outperformed them by quite a bit in this last race.
I'm going to say. I have not been impressed with Vinales since the beginning of the season.
He started strong.
He started strong, but he's not raced well. Now, here's what I don't know. I don't know if it's a communication thing with the team and they're not getting the setup right. I don't know if...
Well, since they dropped back to the 16 chassis, I don't think that's it. I think they just couldn't get it. I don't think it's a communications. I just don't think the bike was...
Right.
Was ready for him.
Rossi, on the other hand... has ridden that bike. I think Rossi's riding that bike beyond what it should do. Right?
Well, Yamaha crashed it today.
We got to get a good look inside underneath the fairings of the Yamaha bike.
there wasn't any skin left.
There was nothing left on that thing after Rossi wrecked it in testing today. But what I will say about Rossi is that neither him or Vinales had anything to race for this week either.
No, even with that,
right. Zarco is starving for his first win.
Yeah, but even with that, they couldn't catch the Ducatis. And Vinales finished what, down in like 13, 14, 15 region?
12th, I think.
12th, okay, somewhere down in there.
Yeah.
So they weren't. Vinales wasn't competitive, and Rossi couldn't catch him.
Yeah, but I think Rossi was. They missed the setup. I think Vinales. I don't know what's wrong with Vinales. he has not done well
in the last half of the season.
The last half of the season, right?
He's had flashes, season? But not overall.
Was it rookie season? I mean, he still had a bunch of points, right? He still finished third in points, but he finished third over Pedrosa, who didn't have a good season and was out injured, and Rossi, who was out injured for a couple races. Right?
Yeah.
So he didn't have a great season. You know, I think I don't know where that goes. I do know that I don't see Zarco going to Ducati. Zarco is looking at 1 to 2 years of riding the Tech 3 Yamaha, which he's proven all season can win.
Yeah.
I think they figured out the tires for him. I think had Pedrosa had to battle with somebody protecting Marquez, I think Zarco wins. I think if Dovi hadn't crashed out, Pedrosa protects Zarco for the win.
Most likely.
Once Dovi crashed out, Pedrosa was like, "Dad, it's no team orders now.
It's mine.
It's mine." As long as Marquez finished, and there's nothing, right? Once that happened, it was out of his hands because all Marquez had to do was finish top 15.
Yeah.
Right? Or top 10, probably top 10, right? Top 10? Top
15. No, yeah, I think he had finished 13 or better, something 13, like that.
Whatever it was, right? So I just see, if there's going to be an open factory ride, it might be
well, Vinales,
but
Vinales has another year on his contract.
Yeah, Vinales, Rossi has the option for next year.
So if Ducati kicks Pedrosa, who would be out there? Stoner, he's not coming back.
No, Stoner's not coming back. He made that clear over the weekend.
Oh, I didn't see that. But anyway,
they kind of cornered him, and he goes, "I am very happy doing what I'm doing, and I don't have the stress of racing. I get to go out on the tracks and ride the fastest bikes in the world and not have to worry about all the other stuff and all the media stuff and all this and all that. I can just go out and have fun, and they're paying me big bucks." I was like, "Good for you, Casey Stoner."
Yeah.
You little whiny.
So he's not going to – they're not going to get him.
No.
Everyone else is locked into contracts.
Yeah.
I think Zarco would be the only one that they could pull would be competitive.
Yeah, I could see Zarco. Zarco would leave for a factory Honda ride. He wouldn't leave for the factory Ducati. Not yet.
I don't know, man.
Not yet. Because
the Ducati bike finished second in the standings, and the Ducati team did really well this year. If you exclude Pedrosa's dismal performances, he did finish strong in a couple races.
Pedrosa's on the Honda. You mean Lorenzo?
Oh, Lorenzo, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but I do see Lorenzo getting spanked. You know, they might tell him that, like, you can't go out with Mark Marquez for a little while. Yeah. You'll have to put their relationship on hold.
Hey, real quick, I hear the music coming out.
Yeah, that's the music.
There's some really cool stuff Yamaha come out with this past month.
The three-wheel bike?
Three-wheel leaning
that's
bike?
That's been out for a while.
No, right? It's coming to the U.S. is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
it's coming to the U.S.
Who cares?
They have
If I see you guys on it, I'm just going to take a picture and laugh at you.
A pickup truck, and they have the Motoroid. I'm sure
that's
you're familiar.
Racing Rossi now for a year.
Not the Moto Droid, the Moto Roid.
Whatever, no one cares. No one cares. They might as well put that on Riding with Norman Reedus for all the rubes and all the women that don't know nothing about motorcycles. Anyways, that was
pickup was kind of cool, though.
That's just my hate on that today. There was something else I wanted to tell you, Warren, but I don't remember what it was, so I'll have to wait for next week because Warren will not talk to anybody on the show outside of the show. That's just the way he is.